From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by Thoroughgraph, everything you need to win. Visit Thoroughgraph.com. The new Colonial Downs and the Virginia Equine Alliance. Hill and Dale, home of perennial standouts. Curlin, Kitten's Joy, Midnight Luke, and emerging stallions, Violence, Iron, and Army Mule. Visit hillanddalefarms.com for consignments at the 2019 yearling sales. Case Supply, the kitchen and bath professionals across upstate New York. Showrooms in Syracuse, Auburn, and Amsterdam. Make your dream kitchen and bath a reality. Visit casesupplyinc.com. And McMahon of Saratoga, standing breakout stallion, central banker. Number one in New York and among the nation's leading young sires. Visit McMahonThoroughbred.com.
Welcome to Loose on the Lead, day one of Loose on the Lead. We started things off here yesterday as far as Capital OTV overall, but we're kicking off the Loose on the Lead season right here live from Clear Court, our Clear Court set, Capital OTV TV. Seth Merrill, Seabick, welcome. Welcome back. Back in the saddle.
Great to be back. Seth, you're more than 6 feet away.
I'm going to say you're about nine feet. People were kind of commenting yesterday. We are clearly, but we have one shots there. And
I'm barely in the picture. How about...
You got a one shot for when you get rolled up, but we have to stay with the...
Better. Now you're talking.
We have to man the protocols and whatnot, however. So... and we mentioned it yesterday, obviously things a little bit different at Saratoga this year and will be throughout the season, but understandably some safety protocols and to get on here, there's a check-in point and take your temp and you have to have a negative test to come out. And so, again, it's going to be a different season. But I think it'll be maybe fun in a different way. Let's put it that way.
I mean, it's one of those scenarios that you just have to roll with these punches, and we've been saying it, at least for me on the radio for months, that the fact that we are operating as fluidly as an industry as we are is pretty remarkable. And a couple of hiccups this week, no doubt about it. We'll talk the situation with Victor Espinoza, Luis Saez, Martin Garcia, all testing positive. And
Luis Saez, as the card was underway at Keeneland,
right, and they yanked him off of his mounts. This is a little bit of a red flag. You also, of course, had Lone Star, which is basically ready to resume now. They had some personnel at the racetrack take ill. This can't be handled cavalierly because it's been frankly a luxury that we're operating the way we are. And the movement of these riders from jock room to jock room, that's got to be clamped down ASAP. And I granted, there's guys that are going to be frustrated and probably miss some stake mounts and so forth. I mean, Luis Saez now is not going to be able to go to San Diego to ride in maximum security at Del Mar in the San Diego next Saturday. But that's too bad. You can't jeopardize what everybody else has by some short-sighted and somewhat selfish attempts to stick with your stake horses. I think the jocks have got to tamp down where they are and going to have to live with this through these summer meets. I think that's a reality.
Keeneland was, from what I understand, they had a number of different jocks rooms, and out of state guys were in a different spot. But it's still and
this happened at Los Al. I mean, Los Al apparently, and then of course though, did you see the winner's circle photo with Luis Saez? Two winners at Indiana, and everybody in the winner's circle photograph. First of all, they weren't distanced, and nobody was wearing a mask. This is a little. A little on the irresponsible side. Got to take this very seriously so that everybody can continue to operate. And there's real hope. NYRA is working tirelessly and in constant contact with health officials and with state government. There's, I think, some confidence that owners will get a chance to, you know, visit in the mornings and maybe in the afternoons, but everybody has to be responsible and take personal responsibility so that everybody can continue, you know, to operate. I knock on wood, New York, you know, things have been, you know, excellent since the teeth of the pandemic, particularly downstate. But we're here. We got our first card is, if you haven't seen the overnight that came out yesterday, they're drawing the Friday card. You got the Peter Pan and the Schuylerville on Thursday, and off we go. Closing day at Belmont, very successful meet downstate. Empire Six force out today. So it's happening, and we're going to enjoy it, and we'll do everything we can for those that aren't going to make it here this summer. We'll make sure that you feel like you're here.
Yeah, that's the game plan. Certainly here on the network, again, we kind of pride ourselves on bringing you the biggest names and whatnot, maybe bringing them a little bit differently this year, but I guarantee you'll be happy. We're going to have some OTB on the roads next Saturday. We're going to be across the street at the Horseshoe during the afternoon, so people can't come up to the track, maybe come in and some social distancing and mask and whatnot, but sit in with us a few locations downtown. As they say, Horseshoe next Saturday, Saratoga National, Bailey's in the mix, Diamond Club Grill, so a Friday, a few Saturdays, a Sunday, so that should be fun. Again, kind of changing things up and making it work for people, hopefully, as it will be a little bit different. But as you said, racing continues in New York, and if the guys have pulled up the replay, I called for it, I'd forgotten until this morning, if they can fire up the replay from last Sunday, I want you to gloat a little bit. And of course, is Kid Chocolate, and you can see him there. And I love your silks. Your silks are really nice.
I'll tell you a silk story, actually.
And so look for the number 3 Chiclet, a nice late run from Kid Chocolate under Manny Franco. Gets it done for Steve Bick and DT Stables. Nice win. I texted you after the race. He wins like a champ here.
There's a lot of nice things about this horse winning. I got to say, you know, they're all special. I wrote this the other day on Twitter. All the wins are special that you get, and we've only had probably 36 in 10, 12 years. Manny kicks him out here. Once he's out from undercover, he goes and gets the favorite and that long shot under Benji Hernandez, who rode that 101 shot really well. This is a horse that was certainly cut out to be okay. And looking at Lucky, Barry Ostrager, bred him, and he had little hiccups that kept interfering, including he was a ridgeling when we got him. So, you know, you watch for issues with a ridgeling, where that problematic testicle is. Sure enough, seemed to be that something was not right. And when they went in at Ruffian and went to go find it, they found it in his abdomen, and it was the size of a pomelo. So clearly this was something that was bothering him. Okay, they fish it out. It's late in his 3-year-old year, and he's made a few starts, and he's shown some flashes. Get him back, and he starts to work toward getting going as a 4-year-old. Okay, we deal with it. Runs and entraps, and now needs a tieback surgery. And luckily, Dr. Ducharme, who pioneered tieback surgery, Normand Ducharme, did the surgery himself. It just so happened he was going to be down that week at Ruffian, so now he does the tieback surgery. So you got another 6 weeks, give or take, and you ease him back because you don't want the horse, the horses, they when they can't breathe, they get a little nervous. They go back out. They don't want it to happen again. I can't thank Gary Siaka and Paul Barone and the partners too, because it's one of those tales where you're trying to explain to people who are owners, and they're paying their percentages, and they well, what's wrong? Is this horse ever going to win? When's he going to run it? You can't do it. You just have to let the horse get right. And to have him win is so rewarding. I mean, I had people say, just drop him to the bottom. We're not dropping him to the bottom. We've got 2 surgeries that we've paid for. The horse has got talent, and he can win at the appropriate level. So it's really satisfying for him to win. And I think, you know, Gary's done a great job with him. And every time we've had these setbacks, taking our time, get him back, and he'll run up here. Minute Mouse running opening day as well.
Oh, nice.
In the seventh. You know, it's very, very satisfying. So thank you for
Yeah, no, it was fun. Minute Mouse a few weeks ago too had the nice run, and you just got caught by the Chad horse in that race with Minute Mouse.
The drop down, and then she ran back. Tyler Gaffleone is going to ride her on Thursday in town, and the chance to grab Tyler, and I think he'll.
And it's nice too. I mean, you've got the radio show. You talk to owners all the time. You talk to fans, and I think a guy like me, who's not on the ownership side of the game, I read about some of these things, but to live through them, I think it gives you a good perspective hosting the radio show of the whole situation of, gee, no entries are, you know, no races are coming up for our horse and the surgeries and all that kind of thing. The real life living through it, I think, gives you a unique perspective being on the owner side of the game with DT.
And it's one of the reasons that I've tried to do the kinds of things we've done. At the same time, I mean, I want to be able to speak from experience when we address these kinds of topics. And at the same time, that experience includes, you know, having a six-week-old foal die that, you know, you waited, you know, close to a year, a Disco Rico that I so badly wanted to have a Disco Rico. And the horse contracts rotococcus, and you chase that and you lose him. We've had mares abort. We've had mares slip and absorb foals. We've lost three or four. I've kind of lost track. And it's the kind of experience that, you know, there's anybody that's in the game for any period of time, you're going to go through these gamut. And so we've bought two-year-olds in training. We've bought yearlings and brought them along. Ausable Chasm was a weanling. We've claimed, you know, we've tried to, you know, really have the gamut of experience so that, you know, you can really speak from the heart and you know, speak from, you know, having gone through virtually all the things that the highs and lows that the game delivers. And the lows are as low as it gets, and the highs are you know, just...
We should mention on the highs, our guest this morning can refer to that, and I bring it up because I was listening to your show this week, just before I came out on Wednesday, Randy Hill.
Randy.
And that's the enthusiasm. That's why you stick around in the game for Vekoma, and you get... You know, we've had him sitting here before, and Randy's just a guy who obviously loves the game. But to get a horse like Vekoma, and the game plan is to have George Weaver sitting with us this morning as well. But Vekoma, geez, just phenomenal. As I say, Randy, it's just over the radio you get the level of enthusiasm.
Anybody that knows Randy Hill knows how much he enjoys participating. He doesn't care if it's Vekoma or a 25 claimer. I mean, he's gung ho. 24/7, and I asked him about, you know, living through, you know, those lows, and George can talk to it too, because they've had plenty of disappointments. They've been together almost 20 years.
Well, they were patient with Vekoma
through the winter. Yep, through the winter, absolutely. Yeah. So
a little bit of little technology.
Ooh,
there,
look at right? This like... picture in picture.
It's a work in progress. I kind of like that. So now we don't the wide shot. You don't have to worry. You still get both of us.
So I can sort of like look forward, but I can see you at the same time.
Yeah, there you go. So there we're stepping it up. We're stepping it up.
Wow.
Should we? You got anything else on the you know, the kind of the Saratoga preview?
Any more to talk about myself? let me think.
But Saratoga preview thoughts or anything like that, or we could take a break and look at some of yesterday's stakes. Nice stakes. I'll touch on, because we haven't done it obviously here yet. I've talked to you on the radio side. But again, and I've said it for a bunch of weeks now, salute to the five tracks that kept running during the pandemic. Gulfstream, Tampa, Oaklawn, Foner, Will Roger Downs, who kept things going. And I know every week you were featuring some Foner, and I know we all played a little Foner.
It was great.
And $100 million handle.
Tremendous. And beside Foner, it was not just those five. You also had on the quarter horse side, you had Remington and Los Al that were running. So there were really seven out there. And, you know, Tampa took advantage and ran. I thought they were going to not ever stop running. Gulfstream does never stop running. Certainly for Will Rogers and for Foner, it was an experience. And I thought that the Foner scenario was very educational. People were getting upset about calls and about, you know, watching the riding, and they were, you know, disparaging, you know, the product, and they just were so wrong-headed about everything, including, for instance, the stewards, who are among the most decorated and experienced guys that were in the stand, had been, you know, at Exarban. These weren't like some people they picked, you know, off the street, the guys that were had been in the stand 30 years. Then there was the whole matter of the bullring, and there's just so little bullring racing left that nobody, it took everybody, I'd say, a few weeks, and frankly, it took me getting Paul Matisse to visit on air and talk about the bullring, and Tony Black talking about how different it is for the riders, because nobody really, they thought that they were watching the same thing you see on a full-size racetrack, and you weren't. It was a different product, and so you had to recognize that. And I know a lot of people who said they, once they got into it and they understood, you know, what was going on, they came to really enjoy it. Not to mention the fact that you would see the same horses every week. Yeah. If you're a greyhound player or a harness player, it had that feel to it, because you were seeing the same runners literally 7 days apart. I mean, they kept coming back. They don't really work out. They basically just run. And that was great, too. That was an aspect of it that I came to enjoy. And watching Canterbury, if those of you who are taking advantage of the 10% takeout pick five at Canterbury, you're seeing a lot of those Foner horses that are, you know, running back on at Canterbury.
Yeah, and I've said it all along. Getting out of your comfort zone, some of these smaller tracks, I think you have to get away from some of your comfort zone handicapping techniques. And so I think it refreshes your handicapping a little bit, like that, a track like that. And, you know, you mentioned the bullring. For me, it was kind of throwback to the early days of when they would take that few weeks out in Southern California, Los Al. And there would typically be one or two jockeys who were like the kings of the bullring.
Sure.
It was the same kind of situation at Foner this year.
Pedroza, right?
Yeah.
Martin Pedroza was killer at Pomona, I think. Pomona? Fairplex. Yeah, Pomona.
Yeah, exactly.
Fairplex.
Yeah, now you got it. Yeah, I said Los Al, but it was
tremendous.
Yeah, it was the Fairplex. It was that little Fairplex meet. You're exactly right. All right, why don't we take a break and come back, and we'll review some of the stakes from yesterday, because there was some very nice action. Certainly some action that will affect what happens up here in some of the stakes action. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Loose on the Lead, underway. Saratoga 2020. Stay tuned.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contest, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back. Loose on the Lead, live from our Clear Court set in Saratoga. Seth Merrill and Steve Bick. And as promised before the break, condensed Keeneland meet offered a big Saturday yesterday. Also, Monomoy Girl at Belmont and more. And I thought we'd touch on some of those stakes. Just give some thoughts. One of the highlights of the day, obviously, a July Derby prep with the Bluegrass. And I didn't know what to do with the winner here, Art Collector. I didn't know whether to buy into that last race. I didn't know whether to buy into that last race. One race.
Oh my God.
You know, do I go with that or not? So I was not on Art Collector. I thought Enforceable would be a little bit interesting. That one ran fourth, but Art Collector in the number three wins. Swiss Skydiver the seven wound up the filly, wound up the favorite at 2-1. Rushy runs third, and Enforceable runs fourth in here. But again, for most of the stretch, nice little duel between Art Collector and Skydiver, but Art Collector pulls away at the end to win by a chart margin of 3.5.
I was waiting for the figure to come out. 103 buyer for Art Collector, which absolutely, and I'm sending that right now to Tommy Drury. And Tommy Drury is the best part of this story. There's actually several working parts of this story that are tremendous. Of course, this was a horse that Bruce Lunsford, it's a homebred of Bruce's, who you know from First Samurai. And when Joe Sharp was running into the issue that he ran into going back to last fall, Bruce took this horse and moved it to Tommy Drury. And if you don't know Tommy Drury, he's been around for a good long while. He gets sort of the sea horses from Claiborne. He is a very good horseman and as nice a person as there is on a backstretch. Absolutely adored by people. And this is so cool that he has got a horse of a lifetime in Art Collector. And, you know, Bruce Lunsford certainly has, you know, been at the highest level in the game. When you think about a horse like First Samurai, and he's had others too. There's a good filly that he had that I'm drawing a blank on. But this is a serious horse going forward. And this is Tom Drury's first graded stake win.
Yeah, so they mentioned that yesterday.
For him to win a Bluegrass as his first, and George Weaver's here, George will echo, you know, Tommy. Is that not the greatest thing, George, that you've ever seen?
Yeah, it is great.
Unbelievable. The game is better for a guy, you know, for guys like George winning, you know, a Met Mile with Vekoma and then making a stud deal at Spendthrift days later, and this horse for Tommy. I love these stories more than anything else in the game. And he's got a Derby horse that is now right up there with the top contenders, with Tis the Law and with Honor AP and with whatever Baffert's end up showing up.
Yeah, he pairs up triple-digit buyers in the last two starts. So he could be one of those getting better in the summer and getting better in the summer in a year where the Derby comes up in September. Now what do you make of Swiss Skydiver though? I mean, I thought that was a nice run for her. Has points. I don't know whether it's enough points to.
They're not. They're Kenny McPeak reoriented, and is going to point for the Oaks with her. And you know what? Okay, she ran great. You finished second in the Bluegrass when you could have won the Grade One Ashland. I'm sorry. I don't get it. And I don't understand. I mean, if the goal was to get, you know, her points for the Derby so that you could go to the Derby, okay, well, you just did that pretty much. But now you're going to reorient. So then why didn't you run in the Ashland where you were going to be, you know, even a shorter price than she was yesterday? To me, it was a little bit of kind of a hubris-y move, but whatever. It's a nice placement. It's a nice that they finished second in the Bluegrass. You missed a chance at a Grade One.
That was what struck me, Grade One versus the Grade Two.
I don't get it.
Either way. But since George is here, you want to take a break and pull George on? And
Do you say no to that?
Then we can get to
you got a Mr.
Replace.
George Weaver, the Met Mile winner?
George literally in the green room. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll be joined by George Weaver, the very talented Vekoma. We'll have some conversation about that and more. Stay tuned.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops.
My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
We're back on Loose on the Lead on this first Sunday morning. What do we call this? It's pre-Saratoga.
Yes.
And Loose on the Lead at Saratoga always has to have George Weaver. Last year, we impacted his meet negatively by not having him on early enough in the meet. So we're going to get you out in front and get everything, get George's deck cleared. Because you were held back to only three Saratoga wins last year.
Yeah, that was bad. Thanks for getting me on early.
Well,
it should be early enough, I would say.
I think, and we're still in the shadow. You're still feeling the effects. We know Randy Hill is still feeling the effects, and I suppose Mike and Matt Gatsis still the afterglow of last Saturday, the Met Mile win. George, you've had a lot of nice wins, first grade one since Lighthouse Bay. But this is the biggest win for all of you.
Yeah, very exciting. You know, it's too bad we couldn't all be together. It's just the times, you know, the way the times are. But so happy for the connections and for our staff and stable as well.
Take us around, George. And you know, Javier wasn't going to wait around for somebody to take the lead.
No, the horse has natural gait speed. Javier was content to sit behind, you know, some of the speed to the outside, if that's the way it developed, but it just didn't develop that way. The horse broke well, and you know, Javier cut some decent fractions out up front, and I was pretty happy at this point down the backside. You know, I felt like it gave, you know, I felt like if he was going to do it, we had a good chance from where we were.
When they get into the stretch, I said it when I was doing the handicapping show and this race went off, I'll see if your reaction was the same. Within about six strides, I went 180 degrees. I thought at one point in the stretch, oh, they're all going to go by him. And then I thought, oh, no, he's going to hold on, but Code of Honor is going to go by, and he's going to wind up second. And then two strides later, I said, nobody's going by him. And he increases the margin then. What were your thoughts as they came into the stretch?
You know, I thought they were swarming him here, and Javier's going ahead and asking him to move forward here. And, you know, right here, you're like, oh, my God, they're all over him. And, you know, I was concerned, and even here, I'm like, oh, man, it looks like he's all in. Are we going to hold on? And then it's almost like he re-broke or so. I don't know. He just, like, past the eighth pole, he started to open up, and that's when I got out of my chair and started going nuts. Yeah, he's such a good horse. He's very determined to get the job done. He, you know, that's I wish I all of them had that in them.
And that had been, as a 3-year-old, that had, you know, quickly become kind of his hallmark, was that he was gonna, you know, he's gonna hang in tough. Watching the gallop out here, George, too, one thing that came up going into Saturday was, you know, people still hanging on to the paddling action. And it was pretty evident, actually, already in the previous start, that it doesn't seem as pronounced as it did as a younger horse. What have you noticed, with maturity or, you know, anything that has contributed to, you know, action that is never going to be viewed as conventional?
You know, the horse is a very correct horse. You know, I think most people assume that if he moves like that he's crooked up front, and he's not. I'm not sure where the action comes from, maybe through his shoulders or whatnot, but, you know, as horses get older, as a 4-year-old, they get broader in their shoulders, and he certainly has filled out and developed, so maybe that, you know, that maybe that is the reason that it's not as evident this year. I mean, it's still there, but look, the horse is just, he's just a freak of a talent, and I'll take that action all day long if he can run like that.
Well, and of course, within, 96 hours of the win, word comes that Spendthrift will be his home after his career, and we talked to Randy, actually, talked to you Monday, and then Randy on Wednesday. Making a stallion, George, it's something that owners, you know, a certain percentage of owners have an approach to the game where they know that making a stallion can pay for a lot of the things that don't go right. I mean, talk a little bit about that part, the business side, that's kind of the undercurrent when you're out there looking for a classic horse.
Well, it's very, very hard to come up with a horse that's good enough to go to stud and be worth a significant amount of money as a stallion. You have to be a grade one winner. And, you know, sometimes even if you're like you're a turf horse, it's hard to market really. In this country, you know, even a grade one winner on the turf can be a little difficult to market. But, you know, you got to find horses with pedigree that have that, and you got to be successful at the races. And look, this is Saratoga County was good enough to be a stud, but on a lesser market. But this horse has got all the good. You know, he's great at 2, 3, and 4. He's got a beautiful pedigree, and we're really excited about him going to stud. But it's, you know, it's hard to come up with those horses. But in this case, you know, we're so happy that Spendthrift was able to be able to make the deal and get him. You know, I think they're going to do a great job promoting him, and he'll get a chance to get to some mares, and we'll see if he's going to be as good at the next job.
Well, being a Candy Ride goes a long way, and that portion, you know, in terms of attractive, the Dam was a stake winner, nice stake winner too. Explain to people too, George, because this got an unique opportunity. When you pilot a horse to a stud career, get some opportunities to, you know, get a couple of shares, and some, you know, some horsemen will bring on mares themselves and breed a couple. Others, you know, you can turn around and you can market that share. Talk about, you know, that part of the business, and what you think about in terms of, you know, the opportunity maybe to breed a few to them.
Yeah, well, you know, as a trainer, I was able to, I got to breed him right out of the deal, and I've got a mare that I'm going to breed to him. And, you know, I'm excited. You know, just excited to see how the babies come out. But, it, you know, if you wanted to sell the breeding right, you know, I'm sure that you could and go that route. But I'm going to go ahead and breed to them and see if we can come up with a runner.
Have you had, I'm trying to think, have any other, you mentioned Saratoga County, have you bred much at all over the years?
No, I've got one mare named Venda that's had a few out there. Christoph Clement won with one of her babies earlier in Belmont, and we had the Venda machine that picked up another check the other day off the turf. So she hasn't come up with the real, real good one yet, but we're gonna keep trying.
Well, it's something that I think some people, you know, it's a part of the business that's very important, and it drives, you know, frankly, I mean, in fact, I brought the OBS catalog, another last day of the Breeze Show today, and we've got about a thousand plus 2-year-olds that will be clearing middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday down at OBS, and we need them. We got to get these 2-year-olds distributed. But you going down?
Nah, it's at a bad time for me. I've been watching videos, and you know, we've got people down there that can look at something if you need to. It's just too tough. But back to the breeding, the New York breeding program, you know, the Breeders Awards are really, it's a great program. You know what I mean? I haven't come up with anything that's raking in tons of money, but we've gotten a few Breeders Awards, and if you have one that actually goes over there and wins a few races, I mean, as a breeder, you can do pretty well.
Oh, there's no doubt. We've got Carlisle Bell, and that was, you know, that's one of those things. All of a sudden, what owner calls it mailbox money. All of a sudden, you know, you're like, what is this? And it's like, oh, look at this. And it's, you know, even if it's a few $100, it pays, you know, pays a farrier, it pays a dentist.
Yeah.
You know, it pays a bill or two.
Let me jump in and talk a little bit about the decision process with Vekoma for the Met Mile, because three big races now. The Comeback was a big race, and then the Carter, there was a 110 buyer. That was the 6th of June. So it was, in the 21st century, kind of a quick turnaround to the Met Mile, and obviously with the big triple-digit buyer, you know, folks, handicappers were concerned, would there be a bounce? And what was your thought process coming out of the Carter? How soon did you make the decision to come back in the Met?
Well, when he ran that big in the Carter, you know, my first reaction was that, oh, man, he's probably going to bounce to the moon. I knew that the Met Mile was there, and I was like, man, I'd just give anything if it was 6 weeks instead of four. And but you didn't want to rule it out. And, you know, you got to just take the signs from your horse. You know, I thought that the horse was doing well enough to earn a shot at it. And, you know, it would help him out as far as being attractive as a stallion and whatnot. Yeah. And, you know, I was happy with him, so we just ran him. And he probably did bounce a little bit, but it didn't matter. He won.
He bounced off a 110. You're still okay, yeah. I guess. And talk about the numbers. As a trainer, what numbers do you look at?
I mean, I kind of look at all of them. I probably look at rags and figures the most on the dirt. Sometimes the turf numbers, I think, can be a little bit askew with any of them, because they're just, you know, the pace doesn't, you know, pace can come out funny, and so sometimes a number doesn't, you know, you'll see a pace adjusted number and you'd be like, it'd be the, you know, it'd be in a claiming race, it'd be the same as a greatest stakes number, and you're like, I don't know, it's hard to get a line. But I'm not, by any means, I'm not an expert at reading them. I just, you know, you kind of, I look at them all, and then if they don't accurately reflect what I think in my mouth, I just toss them out. So they're all bad.
You and Dale Romans. Dale doesn't believe in figures until he runs a big one, and then
right.
And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, got 105 buyer for Shackelford. I thought you didn't like. I thought you didn't care for the figures. Well, I sat up and take notice.
I sent an email to a buyer because when Sodar and Hot Broker made, they gave her a 75, and then there was a later, I think a. It may have been a two of them, but there was a spread of like 24 points, but there was only like a second's worth. And I wasn't saying that one, my figure was too low or what. I just thought that the spread, and I think his answer was basically that the Belmont track changes. And I was like, okay. But you know what I mean? I wasn't really concerned. I just was like, how could there be that big of a spread? At a mile and 16th, you know, five lengths is worth this, and then how could it be 24-point spread in the figure? So it's... there's got to be a little bit of arbitrariness to it.
You know, we have.
I think the buyers are part science, so I think there is a bit.
It's mostly science. I mean, it's mostly mathematic,
well,
and then
do tweak though. So.
Yeah, when there's something, Andy has explained, when there's the occasion that something doesn't look right, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Then you've got to break out races and break out, you know, figure what went on. And in fact, you go back to Belmont Day. When you had that Happy Saver for Todd, the maiden winner, versus No Parole in the Woody Stevens, and time wise there wasn't, you know, there didn't feel like there was going to be as big a spread as there was, but Andy absolutely said that the track, you know, the track was speeding up as the afternoon went on, and you know, there's people that are, you know, still unsatisfied with Tis the Law's number. And you know, saying that, oh, you know, he had to. They're not awarded. I mean, they're. And he wants them to be right. I mean, people say the stupidest things sometimes about, you know, oh, he's doing that so that he can get a bet next time. It's like, please, just stop.
Listen, it's a big move up from back in the day when I learned how to handicap, and it was just the speed figure
and
the variant,
yeah.
And that was it.
There you go. There you go. Who taught you to handicap?
My dad taught me, yep. He taught me how to read the form, brought me up here when I was, you know, 10, 11 years old for the meet. So lot of fond memories.
A lot. That's right. The old days, the track, the 2000, then the 100 signified track record, right? If you got the, you tied the track record if you got the 100.
Exactly.
Talk a little bit about the last couple of months at the track and winning a race like the Met Mile with no fans. How different was that?
It's pretty strange. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of a surreal experience. Yeah. And you know, as soon as you win, I'm looking to my side. My son was with me then, and we were celebrating. But I'm like, I'm looking for Randy, looking for Mike Gatsis, and you realize they're not there, and you get on the phone, and you're so excited, and you know, you'd love to be able to go have a beer with them somewhere to celebrate, and it's just, we just back up and go home, check on the horse, and go home. So it's a lot different, and I think it's frustrating for the owners as well. You know, that's why they get in the game and why they buy these horses and pay the bills on them so that they can enjoy them. It's so hopefully at some point during this meet.
I think that's a possibility. Yeah. Vekoma, what's that? Will we see him up here? I know that has been in the discussion.
I think for me, the Whitney's a little back quick, and I'm still going a mile and eighth off of that big race in the Met Mile, coming back in 4 weeks. I'm not really looking to do that. I think that perhaps the Forego on August 29th could be a logical spot if he's doing well for his next race. But we'll just kind of let him, you know, as we have been in the past, we'll let him do the talking.
Is he up here?
He is here, yes.
How's he looking?
He looks good.
Like the Saratoga weather and water? And
yeah.
Was he here last summer? Did you have him up here, or did he?
He was here until about the middle of June. Then he went down to Kentucky for a little rehab and time off and whatnot. But now he likes it up here. He was here all the whole time as a 2-year-old and got ready here as a 2-year-old. So he's familiar with the lay of the land.
How does the Spendthrift deal work in terms of incentive if he were to win, say, a sprint championship?
I don't know what the exact numbers are, but there are some perks.
Some kickers.
There's some perks for the Breeders' Cup and an Eclipse Award for sure, yeah.
Well, because it feels like once you have that Carter Met double, it feels like you just use the Mottoli roadmap and just, you know, head. And you told me that on Monday when we talked. And then, you know, Randy, nobody had any issue with going that route. And, I mean, who's out there per se to, you know, to beat him? I mean, that's the way it feels.
Yeah, and look, he's a really good horse, and if he's doing well, he's going to be hard to beat in any race that we put him in. But, you know, it's trying to keep horses healthy and doing well over a long period of time is always a task, no matter, you know, who you are or what horse it is. So, you know, we'll just try to keep him happy and doing well like he is now, and hopefully he'll get us to the end of the year, and he could, you know, have a chance to be in a conversation for a championship or a horse of the year or something like that. You never know.
He's already
in the conversation now.
He's a really, really special horse. Nothing will surprise me.
The last two were clearly wow performances just as a fan looking at it. Just a couple of big numbers and big performances. Let's hit on yesterday because you had a winner stakes winner down at Monmouth, Blue Sparkler. Moved over from the turf to the dirt. We'll watch the replay here, and it will be Shippy, the number 3 horse. Comment about the switch in surface, the performance, and will we see Shippy up at Saratoga?
Yeah, she should run at Saratoga for sure. You know, we've worked her a couple times on the grass, and I was really happy with the way she worked on the grass. And she kind of got in some trouble, probably should have won that one other than at Gulfstream. And, you know, she was great at stakes place, but not a stakes winner yet. And so we were looking at the I think they had a race called the Ladies' Shipment of Belmont earlier in June, and she just went through a patch where she wasn't doing as good as I wanted. So I was like, let me take another couple of weeks, and they've got this race at Monmouth. We'll try that. And, you know, they took it off the turf, but certainly off of her dirt form as a 2-year-old, you couldn't scratch her. You know what I mean? The filly's doing well. And, you know, she proved her class in this race. You know, she kind of owned the race the whole way.
Is she up here now?
Yeah, she shipped down there, ran, and came back last night. So she's maybe a little on the tired side, but she's proud of herself. Yeah, she was
she absolutely cruised.
Probably bring her back in the Coronation Cup up here. I got this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like $100,000 for 3-year-old fillies, 5.5 on the grass. Yeah.
Talk a little bit from the trainer's perspective, because as a handicapper, I always wonder this. The decision-making process when a race goes off gets moved from the turf to the main track, and you have a horse entered for the turf as opposed to a main track only. But what is your decision-making process, scratch or stay in?
Chance to win. It all boils down to my chance to win. Or if, you know, sometimes you have a, you might have a filly that doesn't have any black type at all, and you're just hoping to get a check. But it all has to do with how well you're going to do. Look, I mean, you can ask any trainer. You don't want to take a horse over there that's going, you know what I mean, that's going to perform badly and just. So if you have a horse that just can't stand up on the dirt at all, you know, the racing office calls, can you stay in? Can you help us? And it's like, you know, when you end up doing it and they run up the track, it doesn't do anybody any good. So it's all based on performance. You know, you want to give them a chance to at least get a check.
George, how are you handling the ship down and the ship back? Do you have somebody saddling down there, or some of the different venues are handling it differently in terms of personnel and their ability to come to the track and leave?
I know, all those Mid-Atlantic tracks, you can't take help down there.
Right.
So you just need to call up a trainer friend and pay them to use their staff and help you out.
Yep.
And it's, you know, everybody there. You know, the people you know, they're good about it, and they're glad to help.
Who'd you use?
Yesterday it was Kent Sweezy, and I got one there today. It's going to be Jonathan Thomas's group.
Very nice.
So,
very nice.
Much thanks to them. They big help.
Excellent. Good job. That's been an amazing part of this. That story has not been told all that much. For instance, Amos sent no parole to Pat Kelly. And Pat, you know, took no parole over and handled him. So it's sort of a behind the scenes element to what's going on, and worth mentioning.
I can tell you, trainers already have a lot on their plate, and now with the virus and whatnot, all the things you got to jump through, it's just like, it's unbelievable all the steps you have to go through to make sure your help's okay, let people back here, licensed, try to ship him run somewhere. The workload is big right now.
George, how much of an advantage do you think it's going to be based up here this summer when we're seeing and hearing quite a number of downstate outfits that are actually turning back stalls? They're taking a percentage of what would have been their normal allotment, and they're going to keep basically shifting horses, keeping them at Belmont, keeping as much personnel at Belmont as possible, and really only having a skeleton crew up here. And you know, a lot of barns that normally take 30 stalls are only sending 10 horses. You know, you're here all the time anyway. Do you think it's going to be an advantage?
You know, I think that there might be a slight advantage for some horses to train where they run, but all those years that I was with Todd and Wayne, and you know, we had horses at Belmont and shipped them up here, and they ran fine. Horses are used to shipping, and it would only be a deficit on a handful of cases. I think
bad
that
actors.
Yeah, perhaps and whatnot. And I think it's, you know, look, it costs a lot of money to move your staff and come up here. The owners, I mean, I don't see the owners being able to come back on the backside, even if they let them in the grandstand. So you're talking about, you know, there's no real incentive to put on the show up here. You know, it's going to be the races, and hopefully the owners can come to the grandstand. And it's just one of the, you know, everything's just changed this year because of the virus.
You had horses work out on the main track yet? Because they did a resurfacing over there. I'm just wondering what the reaction has been to that.
I have not been to the main track yet. We've been staying on the Oklahoma track. But we'll start to make a little ventures over there pretty soon.
Yeah, just curious what the reaction is going to be to that.
I've heard it's good.
That's what I've
heard. Both Todd and Chad have been happy with it.
Yeah, I drove by, I don't know, 3 months ago. There was a mountain of dirt there, and eventually they did a little resurfacing.
It was like a graphite. Yeah. It was a drainage thing. So they're hoping that the track drains faster than ever, and you go from sloppy to muddy to good to fast that much quicker.
Yeah.
Maybe not Churchill quick, but quicker.
George, appreciate your coming over.
Whoa. What are you, nuts? He's not going anywhere. We got all kinds of things. No.
Okay, hang on. I was looking at the clock. I should know.
So we're
the guy's thinking throw room and going, hey, fix that, fix back.
Yeah, exactly. maybe on racing across, Gilderland. George, there's some people playing today, the Empire Six. And you've got what? Sid Finch and the other. What's the other one?
We've got Sid Finch, Bobby from Napalm. And I think Des Bordes is in the earlier race, right?
Yes. Des Bordes in the first with in the third with Manny, but then Louis. Well, no Louis. Who are you putting on?
Dylan Davis.
Dylan Davis. Okay. Cover for us. On Sid Finch, and then Manny again with Bobby from Napalm. So the fourth and the seventh. Help everybody out that's putting together Empire Six tickets.
I think they're both used. You got to use them. They're neither one of them are singles by any means, but I think you got to use them. I think that Sid Finch is, you know, he's really in good condition right now and very happy with him. And Bobby from Napalm, you know, he broke his maiden for 30 against straight three-year-olds. A pretty bad bunch back in December, but, you know, he drew off from those and, you know, we had to give him a little time. But he's back in a logical spot.
You got two on opening day. Let's go to Thursday and Starlight. How many horses you got for Jack Wolf and company?
This is Randy and Jack Wolf. They partnered up on this.
Nice.
Day. Yeah. So.
Nice.
So only the one. But
just the one. All
yeah.
right. Thrill.
She's got some talent, so we're looking forward to getting her over there.
Her name is Thrill, and going three quarters. These are maidens, three and ups, and Manny aboard in here. That's actually, you know, having Randy out there kind of working the crowd and bringing in partners, that it's all right. He's like a carnival barker.
Randy's been my biggest agent. He's always pulling for me.
He is the greatest, absolutely. And then race later, we got State Bred's allowance types, group of eight, and Thorny Tail comes back for Commonwealth.
Yeah, the horse ran big off the bench the same day as Vekoma won the Carter. And he had a real nice breeze the other day. We got Javier in a nice draw. So, you know, that's New York bred two of an optional board. It can be a really salty race. But, you know, we have a horse that's training well and looking to make that next step.
How about the two-year-olds? I started the conversation about what's going on at OBS this week. And how many two-year-olds are already in the fold?
We have a decent number of two-year-olds, but most of them are a little bit behind just because of the layout of the year and the sales coming later. So, we'll, you know, we might have a one or two of them early in the meet, but most of them probably in the back end of the meet.
Any names that we need to know?
I don't see the next Vekoma, but it's still early days.
Come on. Who do you like so far?
None. I tell you, I don't have any good names yet. Probably the best ones aren't even named.
All right, I'll get that. That was the right answer.
That's a good question. So, do you get 2-year-olds that actually don't have names yet? But I'm wondering around the barn, like, how do you refer to them?
Pork chop.
Yeah, exactly.
this one's got to go for a work. Yeah, what do you say to the help when you
pork chop?
We just call them their mother's name.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And with the year they were foaled.
Okay.
That's how the clockers keep tabs on. George, best of luck this meet. Got to get you back up to that 8, 9, 10 win range.
Yeah, I need more than that. Let's say like a dozen, at least a dozen.
Is there action in Vegas? What's the over-under on Weaver wins at Saratoga?
Yeah, well, a dozen probably is over.
All right, yeah, so I'd say 9.5? 9.5?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. I'm taking the over.
Well, and George, I was saving this for the end, and I don't know how much time we got left, but this year visitors to Loose on the League get a tie for my collection, and that I figure will go when Randy when Randy runs.
Oh yeah,
that perfect to pick up his silk. Uh-huh.
There you go, right there.
Absolutely, and Seth, I don't want you to go without.
Oh, SU.
There you go.
I knew you'd like that. Yeah, I'll be wearing that all basketball.
Well, the other one's disintegrating, the one you're wearing now. So
it's fairly new, actually. Actually, why don't we take a break? We'll let George head back up. We appreciate the visit. And yeah, great luck.
Thank you, guys.
Not just with Vekoma, who fabulous season so far, but the rest of the meet as well. But appreciate the visit.
Thank you for having me, guys.
George Weaver. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap things up on this initial edition of Loose on the Lead. Stay tuned.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back live from Saratoga. It is Loose on the Lead, the first edition of the Saratoga 2020 season. Seth Merrow and Steve Bick. Steve?
We're in mid-season form!
I know. We have the grade one Met Mile winner stepping in here for the initial show, George Weaver. Thanks to him. Looking forward. I hope he does show up in the four. I know they're also talking train up to the Breeders' Cup or whatnot, but I hope he
No, they'll show. Run. He'll need... They'll
well, I think Randy would love to have him
up here. Oh, no doubt. No doubt about that.
We had other replays. I don't know. Did you want to comment on anything over the past few days? Maker's Mark Mile, War of Will was kind of interesting. Turf and dirt there on Friday.
Yes.
So that was certainly notable over the past few days.
No doubt about it. And this is a... Yeah, this is actually, it has happened in recent memory, right? California Chrome turned around and won the Hollywood Derby. So, being a grade one winner.
I was thinking, we were talking about this, somebody yesterday. Wise Dan, was he? He was dirt and turf, right?
Well, yeah, but that's not the same as a class. I'm thinking classic
yeah,
winners.
Yeah, no.
Classic
no,
winners.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah, no, Wise Dan won what? The Clark and... This was a tremendous ride by Tyler Gaffalione. And
he was continuing to ride well. He rode really well down at Churchill, and he's continuing to ride
well. Well, part of it is Matt Musiker, and there's actually a very that's going to be a very fun thing to watch this summer in terms of the not just the jockey battle, but the the jock agents and their ability to to get the best mounts. And for those that haven't really followed this story, the situation with Ron Anderson handling John Velasquez has kind of fanned Johnny out into a wider array of mounts and of barns, and Johnny's riding like a young Johnny Velasquez, kind of a subplot really coming into the meat, but that win by War of Will, it seems that the Cassie barn that had kind of a lull right after pandemic, it seems like the Cassie barn is now starting to get rolling. And in fact, I think it was last Saturday at Woodbine, they won the Eclipse. They won the Eclipse Stake. Gary Barber and Cassie. I'm gonna forget which horse, but Cassie's barn is starting to come alive, without a doubt.
Another story from yesterday: Rushing Fall, who now grade ones in 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old season.
Jeez.
That was a big performance.
At that turf course.
And I said, unbelievable. I'll bring that up again today because I mentioned yesterday on OTB Live. Course record after course record. I said, I don't think it's a function of anything funky on the track other than the calendar. Usually, the meet is in April or October, where I think you have a turf course that probably has a lot more give to it than
it
does in the early part of July. I think it's just a harder turf course in the summertime when they don't normally run. But over the last few days, you've been hearing course record, course record, course record, which I think plays into the time of the year.
That comment was so good, you get two more ties. Sharp. That was a two-tie comment by Seth Merrow.
Two ties.
For that. That was very savvy.
I do like my Sarah
ties. I knew that would send
Syracuse,
you over the top.
Yeah, I do like
the
my
SU
colors tie.
Are they what do we hear from the what league are they in these days? ACC, right?
Yeah.
Are they going to play?
I haven't heard anything specific, but it wouldn't surprise me. Football season, I think, is very much up in the air. Basketball, Patino the other day brought up something. His team, his league, he was saying, why don't we start in January and just keep it league games? I wouldn't be surprised if that was kind of the
there's game a lot plan of that. Yeah, there's basketball. A lot of that stuff going on.
Guarana looked good yesterday, too. You
that
were talking.
Was, that was quite a thing. I mean, she got past. And
yeah,
she looked like she was a chicken in a pot.
Yeah.
And she dug in, and Gamely comes back on Mia Mischief. And, you know, Mia Mischief, this is going to be a reprise. You'll see this group again in the Ballerina. In 4 weeks, actually. Ballerina is on Travers undercard. So this whole group, including Bell's the One, you would think Neil Pessin will show up, although I suppose they could run in the groupie doll at Ellis, too. But anyway, this look at that. I mean, how often do you see that?
Incredible. Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
And you were talking during the commercial break a little bit, and I think I called for the replay, the Shaker Town. That's just notable because Rusty Allen, 1-2.
1-2
with
for
an exact,
for
I think
Rusty.
It was like 110 bucks or something.
Yeah, it was. It was good. This is Totally Boss. This killed me. I used Totally Boss as my key horse, and this stopped me dead. And during the week, I kept talking about Rusty's two turf sprinters, you know, coming back, second off the layoffs, and yay, this really hurt. And they were arguing about the photo, but it looked to me like there was never even any question that Leinster was going to, was the winner. And sure enough, Leinster wins, and the cross-country pick five yesterday ended up paying $474. And that was the that was the key horse to get, and of course
yeah,
you had
that starting to pick four down at Keeneland, but I didn't use Art Collector, so hit Swiss Guide.
Give me back a tie.
Which one do I want?
No, to you are. It's all right. It's up. Didn't know what to do with Art Collector.
It was one good race. I always say
it was
one,
two
one good
races.
Or, well,
it was
yeah,
two good
you
go,
but I was looking at the trouble. But yeah, no, it was on me. Benny Public got it right though. Me? No. Should mention...
I like the shot, by the way.
The technology is working on the social distancing.
Very impressed. You can't see it. Oh, they can see this at home,
right?
No,
that's that's exactly what they're looking at. Yeah, they got the
you know what this is like?
This is like
this is like the old days of point-counterpoint with Shane Alexander, right?
That's right.
And then parodied on Saturday Night Live. Jane, you...
Yes. Yeah, very good. You alluded to it earlier. We should reiterate, though, today at Belmont, closing day at Belmont, $477,000in the carryover for the Empire Six, and it's obviously last day. It's a mandatory payout, so folks should take a look at the Empire today down at Belmont.
And we also didn't mention Monomoy Girl. Very, very steady.
Did you see a number for her?
104.
Oh, well,
104.
Oh.
Very impressive. And she is being, very... carefully look at that. I tell you, the truck is sharp.
It's day two. We worked out the kinks yesterday. Day one, day two. We're cooking.
It's good you worked them out because you know me, I would have been throwing things. Monomoy Girl 1-9, and Vexatious ran very well here for Jack Sisterson. And Jack, best wishes to Jack, who's coming back from, I think, back surgery. I think he had a disc thing going on. Monomoy Girl, Brad Cox, very, very steady, just tightening, and the distaff division. Think about it. Midnight Bisou and her, and we should also mention Dunbar Road with a nice win, tuning up down in the Dell Cap, and I think she got a 98 buyer down at Delaware. So the distaff division is shaping up really, really good.
And we had mentioned the Ashland earlier, but we didn't specifically talk Speech over Venetian Harbor.
Well,
and Speech throws herself into that three-year-old filly conversation.
And Speech with a nice number, too. Speech, I think, a 100 or 101. And, four to one on her was a gift.
A couple of seconds behind Jameen and Swiss Skydiver in the last two races, and she
ridiculous.
Looked like a definite player in the race and pulls away with the chart margin three lengths.
Well, you heard George. George said he threw Venetian Harbor right out. Nice win for Eclipse Thoroughbreds, who are having a very nice year. And, of course, Sharing, went across to Ascot and ran a terrific race in the Coronation. She'll be back to Fair Hill, but we'll see if she shows up here later in the summer with Graham, and I'm sure he's got lots of options, including Colonial and so forth. But anyway, Eclipse got a lot of nice horses, and Speech, I suppose they've got to look at the Alabama. I mean,
you
right?
Think, yeah, absolutely. As right? I say, she throws herself firmly into that three-year-old filly picture. I don't think, as far as three-year-old filly rankings, I don't think Swiss Skydiver did herself any harm yesterday with the second. I thought it was a good second.
No, but chance. One of the things that voters look at the end of the year are graded stake wins and grade one wins. And so to bypass a grade one Ashland in favor of running, an okay second, it was fine. She ran great. But
three-year-old male side, Tis the Law, still the top of the class. I thought Uncle Chuck last week, I thought was okay. The Indiana Derby. I suppose the result of the Bluegrass flattered the Indiana Derby.
Yeah, of course.
A little bit.
Absolutely.
I wasn't sure what to make of that race,
the
Indiana Derby on Wednesday. But as I say, the Bluegrass helped flatter that one a little bit.
You've got Haskell, for those of you that are looking forward to next Saturday. Dr. Post from Todd and Authentic from Baffert. Then you've got Ancient Warrior, Ette Indienne, Fame to Famous, Jesus' Team, Lebda, New York Traffic, and Sonoman, all expected. And there's a chance that Bill Mott might run Modernist and Mystic Guide also being considered for the Haskell. So it looks like 9, 10, or 11 for the Haskell next Saturday at Monmouth. And I had Dennis Drazen. I don't know if you heard Dennis's visit on Friday. I mean, they're in an unenviable position. First they thought they were going to be able to have 15,000 daily, and then Governor Murphy kind of pared back from that. Virtually on opening day last Friday at Monmouth, they had to trim all the way down to like 500. And now it looks like they can have about 3,000 on Haskell Day. Certain number indoors, I think 1,000, maybe 500 to 1,000 indoors and 1,500 to 2,000 out. Anyway, they put up 500 tickets for sale, $100 per ticket. But I don't know how it's going to... Dennis is in a very bad spot because they've got to give tickets to owners and so forth. And one, I think they've got six stakes. You got the Matchmaker and the Oceanport and everything else, the United Nations. Once you give out tickets to the Horsemen and probably what? At least 2 to 4 per person per stake. I don't know. It's very tough.
Yeah.
Very, very tough.
As it will be for everybody throughout the summer and really the remainder of the year, theoretically and potentially beyond. But up here, again, there are some strict protocols necessary, understandable here. They're checking only one gate open to get into, and they check in temperature, and you have to have the negative test and whatnot. But we are underway yesterday and today here on Capital OTB TV. We have been here live with our set on Clare Court, and looking forward to opening day, returning opening day. We're Our schedule is pretty much going to be the same as it is has been every year. We'll have a camera on the track starting about 7:30 with some workouts, handicapper support on racing days at 9. I'll have the weekdays racing across America. Thank you very much. Saturdays at the spa with Nato on Saturdays. And then Sundays, Loose on the Lead. Steve Bick and myself in here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Looking forward to it. I think we got it off. I think it was a rousing start.
It's a rousing start. It's a rousing middle. It's a rousing ending. We love doing it. It's one of the highlights of the summer. And we hope
feedback.
To...
Well, that's, I was going to say, a lot of feedback over on the front side. I guess I'll have to get my feedback. I don't know how I'll get... Although I was in a restaurant on Thursday. Well, mine's a little shorter.
Well, no. I'm just trying to see if I can, like... If I can
hold pat my head.
If I can, like, hold you, like... How do I do this? Let me see. This is really... Look.
You must be great with the Instamatic. But I was out to dinner Thursday night and sat down. I was reading my paper before the dinner came, and somebody from another table said, you doing TV again this year? I said, we sure are. Starting Saturday, we'll be back on. So the folks are out there, they're watching, and we will get some feedback, certainly. It'll just be a little bit different this
year. Our 23rd great year. No one knows. No one knows how long Seth and I have been together.
And as good as ever. Better than ever. All right, wow. We better wrap things up.
Yeah,
as we are already beyond time. But for us, this is probably pretty good for us. All right, gonna wrap things up, and we're wrapping it up for the day as well. So things will kick back off, as I say, opening day handicapper support at 9 o'clock. So make sure you mark that on your calendar. Don't forget, a week from yesterday, next Saturday, we'll be live over at the Horseshoe during the afternoon. That should be a lot of fun. We'll have a bunch of those on the roads up here in Saratoga at various establishments during the meet. We will alert you to all of them. But on Saturday afternoon, next Saturday, Horseshoe.
With masks, everybody's got to...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all the protocols in place. Masks will be distance and whatnot. I should mention also, since I'm not going to be on later, the parlors are open, the branches are open as well with the same kind of things, masks and distancing. But the clubhouse race book, Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 7. The other branches, noon until 7, Wednesday through Sunday. So swing on by and take advantage of some nice racing on this Sunday, including that carryover in the Empire 6. You want to play that, as it is a mandatory payout today. All right, Steve, see you next week.
I may be going down to Haskell.
Okay.
And I was going to ask if a little Skypey thing if we
possibly.
Stay over.
Yeah, possibly.
If we stay over Saturday
night,
maybe
Zoom Skype. Kind of
maybe.
I think we can make that work. Yeah.
I could do it like right from Seabright or Monmouth Beach.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see. We may come back. I don't know yet. I don't even know if we're going to go. Because they don't know. I rarely miss a Haskell, and of course last year there was the hot out, the heat out, delayed the Haskell till 8 o'clock at night. The crazy situation last year.
Totally.
There's another crazy situation.
All right, we'll wrap it up for this first edition of Loose on the Lead. Thank you for tuning in. We are underway. Looking forward to coming back opening day at Saratoga on Thursday. We'll see you then.
From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by Thoroughgraph, everything you need to win. Visit thoroughgraph.com. The new Colonial Downs and the Virginia Equine Alliance. Hill and Dale, home of perennial standouts. Curlin, Kitten's Joy, Midnight Loot, and emerging stallions, Violence, Iron, and Army Mule. Visit hillanddalefarms.com for consignments at the 2019 yearling sales. Case Supply, the kitchen and bath professionals across upstate New York. Showrooms in Syracuse, Auburn, and Amsterdam. Make your dream kitchen and bath a reality. Visit casesupplyinc.com. And McMahon of Saratoga, standing breakout stallion, central banker. Number one in New York and among the nation's leading young sires. Visit McMahonThoroughbred.com.